Inside on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Iowa Computer Repair. Keeping your business running, iowacomputerrepair.com. And the Strudel House, an Austrian restaurant and bakery, the taste of Europe in Des Moines, strudelhouse.com.
It is the Business News Hour for a Thursday afternoon. With us in studio, and I've wanted to get him in here for some time. He has been ultra busy with his job as the president of the Iowa Wild hockey team here in Des Moines. Todd Fredrickson is his name. Good guy and a good friend. Thank you, Todd, for coming by and spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
Yeah, I understand you got kicked out of the arena today.
Yeah, with the Trump thank you tour in full effect. We've got Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Terry Branstad and
the whole McGilla crew
is going to be there tonight.
Yeah, so you said, I got to go.
Well, yeah, the Secret Service said you got to go.
You got to go, yeah. I know. They all along Locust Street are here in front of the studio. You know, no parking, and apparently, anyway. So, yeah. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
We don't do sports on the Business News Hour. We talk about the business side of things. But let's go into the sports side for just a second, and then we'll talk about the business of hockey. How are things going for the – I'm a season ticket holder, have been forever, and so I know, but tell folks.
Yeah, it's been great. It's hard to imagine. We're already into our fourth season.
Is that right?
Yeah, in the fourth season and over a third of the way through our fourth season. So it's been fantastic. Those have – fans that have followed kind of our play on the ice, they know we haven't got a lot of wins at home especially, but the fan supports remain strong. We have our highest season ticket base we've had in 4 years. The corporate partnership side of it is incredible.
That has exploded.
And we've done some things this year in order to kind of continue to add more. We pushed back the North End retractables in our arena, so that added a few ice suites that we're able to put in. But a lot of additional signage down there on the North End. We have digital dasher boards now.
I saw that. Those are very cool.
We have a program that we distribute to, I think it's about 150 different locations throughout Des Moines. That's got, schedule. It's a magazine. It's the Iowa Wild magazine. It's called Wild Times. And, you walk into any Hy-Vee or grocery store in town, and you see those racks of all the different magazines and stuff. We have a magazine there now in a permanent position. So it's a way for us just to kind of get our, articles about our team out, but also schedule and
I am amazed. And, people talk about Des Moines as not being a hockey town, but we've had hockey in this town for decades and decades and decades. The Oak Leafs and the Capitals and the not the Barnstormers, the help me out. Urbandale.
Buccaneers.
Buccaneers, thank you. Yeah. And so those have been mainstays a long time. AHL hockey has been here for a long time as well. But continually we say, well, it's not a hockey town, but it takes a lot of promotion to make this thing happen, and with the magazine and the corporate support that you guys have gotten, that's pretty astounding.
Well, I mean, we're a for-profit business, you need corporate support along with good season ticket holders and a good fan base to make it a successful business or a viable business. Now, we are the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Wild, so the Minnesota Wild needs a place to develop their players. So when you start looking at cities to do that in, Des Moines is a very attractive one.
Well, and not only that, Todd, but as you well know, the Wells Fargo Arena, the ice there, the stadium is it's perfect. I mean,
it's
people.
Fantastic.
I was talking to a guy just the other day. He is originally from Chicago, and it was his first visit just this past week to a Wild game. And he goes, "I cannot get over this. The stadium. This is made for hockey."
Well, I mean, it's hard to believe when we relocated the franchise from Houston to Des Moines that that locker room was just sitting there as well, too. I mean, it is a first-class locker room with all the amenities that you'd have at the NHL level. So from a player standpoint, to play in that arena and for our training staff and equipment staff, it's just a great venue. So Minnesota's looking at, all these things in terms of close proximity, great facility, great venue. And then from the business side, great corporate community and great fan base, it makes it a very enticing market for us to be here for a really long
absolutely
time.
Absolutely, it does. Todd Fredrickson, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Iowa Wild. How has hockey changed in your lifetime that you've been involved? We were just talking with Mike Pace out there a little bit ago about the fights and things. And it seems to me that it's gone from a more rough-and-tumble sport to finesse. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this level, professional hockey players at this level are a commodity. They're a commodity to their NHL team. So when you think about the fact that we've had six players already get called up to the Minnesota Wild, and a few of them have gone up and down already, but a few of them have stuck, you want to make sure that guys are coming into the lineup at the National League level healthy. Right. And so that's not to say that they're taking fighting out of the game to protect them or to make them softer. But to a certain degree, you know, concussions are a real thing. It's a real thing in the NHL. It's a real thing in the NHL. So I think to some degree they want to make sure that player safety is very important. Mm-hmm. So fighting is one of those things where while it's in the past, it's happened between usually pugilists, individuals that know how to fight.
Everybody had an enforcer.
Everybody had an enforcer and the enforcers fought. You know, there were still incidents of concussions and stuff. So, you know, I think player safety is always going to be at the forefront of the development.
Has the league put out a memo and said, hey, let's just not do this anymore?
The league, they haven't specifically put out a memo, but they've implemented rules where if you get in a certain number of fights, you get suspensions and incremental suspensions. So the players know that, hey, I can get in a few fights, but it's not like you'd see back in the day where you had guys fighting 30 or 40 times a year.
One of the other surprising things, I think, for most people who don't understand AHL is that these players that are here with some pretty decent salaries at the same time.
No question. I mean, the opening weekend we were playing a visiting goalie who was making $4.4 million in the American Hockey League. Andrei Pavlicek from Manitoba, who played with Winnipeg. So, I mean, you know, you're a veteran player in this league, and you can have five veteran players on your roster max, could make anywhere between $250,000 and $500,000 in this league. And but a typical AHL player on an entry-level deal is probably making closer to that $75,000 to $100,000.
And that's not bad for 23, 24, 25-year-old kids.
No question. And we're not talking about signing bonuses and all that stuff.
Sure.
That are added on top of that as well, too. So, I mean, these are professional athletes, and, you know, they're ready to, you know, they're trying to get to the next level. And
what's the trajectory on those kind of salaries?
Well, I mean, a guy on a typical two-way contract in the American League might be making $100,000 at the AHL level, and he's making $650,000 to $700,000 at the NHL level. And how that's paid out is they take the average number of days in a hockey season, which is about 260, and they divide that into your salary to figure out how much you get on a per daily rate. So when you get called up the NHL, you'll get paid that $700,000 salary on a daily rate for every day you're up there. So you want to get up
there,
and
incentive, isn't it?
Yeah, you want to get up there, and you want to get, you know, as many days at the NHL salary as you can. Because you can make a lot of money quickly, and that's an entry level guy. NHL players are making $2 to $3 million if they're, you know, first or second line player.
Another interesting part about hockey is the caliber of the hockey player. Always seems to me that these guys are very well versed in all kinds of things outside of their sport, polite to a fault, dress well. Not that other sports don't, but their comportment seems to be really stellar. Is that across the league?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if it's a lot of them are Canadians and they're just brought up polite and mind your manners. But for the most part, they're very respectful and appreciative of where they're at and where they're trying to get to.
Yeah, here's one of the things that I mentioned to a person the other day, and I don't know if this is true or not, but this is my supposition. In many other team sports, parents kind of give their child to the team, and the team takes care of whatever. You know, okay, we travel here, we do this. In hockey, though, even the very early ages, it is parents traveling with the kid here and there, and they're really enveloped in that. They take the kid and they travel. Even over at the Bucks, you know, those young people spend time with foster families, if you will. And so I think that whole family issue really does meld into the hockey player.
Yeah, it's neat to see. And I grew up playing hockey and have great memories of traveling with my family all over the place to tournaments. It's, you know, and some of that, it's probably an expensive sport, you know, and it requires the commitment and time commitment of families to really kind of invest and get behind what you're doing in terms of trying to learn the game of hockey.
The business of AHL hockey here with the Iowa Wild, how many folks do you have in the front office?
We have 25 employees.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're one of the larger AHL staffs. But I mean, to some degree, when based upon our performance over the last few years, like, we need to have a big staff to kind of get the word out and promote. We're also challenged by a few things in Des Moines. It's not a hockey market. And I heard that just a few moments ago that they grew up without hockey. So they're just not a fan of it. So it's a huge commitment investment in our time to really focus promoting the sport at the youth level.
And you have a whole crew, if I am correct in this, that really work with the sponsors, the folks that you have been able to garner and bring on as sponsors. I think of my good friend Steve Smith, for example,
yeah,
from Fast Signs. You know, and there's a whole, if I start naming them, then I get into trouble. But you guys really cultivate these folks.
Yeah, well, if they're a sponsor, they're spending money with us because they want eyeballs in our arena to see their product or their brand. But we think that we can help them drive probably more incremental business by getting together through our networking programs. So we have our business network where we get all our sponsors together every, once a month, pretty much, and we introduce them to each other. And so, you know how much incremental business.
A lot of B2B stuff going on.
A lot of B2B. I mean, one thing I always told my staff when we first got started is we want to create our own chamber of commerce where, our sponsors can interact with each other and get incremental business from each other that way. And I think that's really led to us continuing to grow our sponsorship.
Of course it is, because you bring added value. You're not just saying, okay, we put eyeballs on your logo.
Yep.
We're also giving you the B2B experience. That's a great idea.
And then we've got talented Eric Grundfast, who does a terrific job on our staff. He, he's constantly saying, hey, who should I introduce this sponsor to? Because I think that goes a long way to wanting to continue partnership with the Iowa Wild.
Best part of your job?
The best part of my job, well, I mean, it's never...
It's prowling the sidelines,
yeah,
right?
Best part, I mean, it's never the same.
Yeah.
Like, every single day is different. We're in the event business, so it's putting on events, which is a huge fun part. And then, it's at the end of the day, if we win and we win a championship, our staff is rewarded with a huge celebration, championship rings, a banner-raising ceremony. And I've had the opportunity to win 3 championships with the Chicago Wolves, and it is unbelievable. I can't think of another industry where you're celebrated that way for your hard work and your team's accomplishment than rings. And
it's a cool thing, isn't
it? It's just so neat and so much fun.
Going to be here for a while, you think, in Des Moines?
Absolutely. I mean, the Iowa Wild is certainly not going anywhere, and I have no intention of going
Excellent.
Myself. So.
Todd Frederickson, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Iowa Wild, thanks for coming in and doing this.
Thanks, Mike.
Always appreciate it. All right, we've got to step aside. Tyler says it's coming up on 6 o'clock. For Tyler and for Todd and for our good friend Mike Pace, thanks so very much for hanging out with us. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow at 5:05. Tyler Hackenmiller on the controls, the voice of Insight on Business, the News Hour is Jimmy Olson. Patrick Wood is the program director for the stations. Mary Sayer, the liaison between our ad agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. For all those folks and our guests, my name's Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.